Well, guys, you glad you're in the Lord's house today?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here with you. I thank the Lord He let me rise up to see another day. We should always rejoice because this is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.
And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. You know, I think too many times we wake up thinking of everything that's wrong instead of thinking about everything that's right, and that is we are able to get up and rise up and come and worship God. I can't think of anything better to do. Now, guys, I'm passionate about things, as you well know. I'm really excited about this revival we're going to start up here tonight. I believe God's going to do some great things. Cody is going to start it off tonight. So he was nervous, a little nervous last night. I saw him in there. I had to take the mop in there a couple of times. He got sweating. So I thought the dog had had an accident in the dining room. It was just Cody sweating, getting ready for his sermon. Amen. But,
I had to mess with it. Huh? Wet back.
Yeah, we had to get a wet back in there. But anyhow, we're excited about that. Philip's going to be preaching one night. Darrell Evans and Peter White the other night. So Hannah and Rachel are going to be doing some singing. I know we got other people that are going to be singing. So it's going to be a great time. I hope and pray you can come and support. Last year, like I said, we had pretty much a full house every night. And we want to continue that. I know a lot of work's been put into this. Philip has done a tremendous job with that, so we want to thank him for that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 3.
Amen.
Amen. And guys, we've been doing a series in the book of 1 John. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, the Lord has not let go of me from talking about it started back several months ago. We started talking about lukewarmness. We talked about the church at Laodicea. We talked about what it meant to be a true born-again Christian. And we're going to continue on in the book of 1 John. We got this week and we got two more weeks and we'll be done with this book. And then maybe God will have moved me on into another direction. But guys, I have a real burden for the lost. And I have an even greater burden, not only for the lost, but for people who are lost, but who think they're saved. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about in this series is, guys, we got to understand who we are. Jesus is the light. Amen. And in Him, there's no darkness.
Amen.
So you see, when the Holy Spirit of God comes inside your heart, He drives out darkness. He drives out the darkness. So there cannot be light and dark living in the same vessel. I told you a couple of weeks ago, you cannot be possessed of the devil from inside if you're a born-again believer in Christ. Because he's driven him out. Now, Satan can manipulate you from the outside in, and he does that every day. But we got to understand who we are, and we got to understand why we are. And that's what I want to try to get across to you in this series that we're doing here. We're going to read probably the first 10 verses or so in 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to ask if you will please stand to your feet and honor the reading of God's word. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And then we're going to move on into the message today. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Father God, I just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Father God, in the next few minutes here, Lord, let nothing I say be about me, Lord, but let it all be about you and to your glory and for your glory. Lord, I pray that hearts and minds will be challenged. God, I'm praying if there's anybody here today that needs to accept you for real as their Lord and Savior, that they will do it today in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, we've been talking about this for the last several weeks. The big, heavy theme in the book of 1 John is loving each other and understanding who we are in Christ, understanding the difference between light and dark. Light and dark. Let's break this down. The first three verses there are basically telling us that, hey guys, one day we're going to see Jesus for who he is. Amen? Isn't that going to be a great day when you're actually able to stand there in the presence of God? You're going to be able to stand there and see him for who he is. Those of us that are going to be in heaven, that is. I want to make sure you understand that, because many will come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we testified in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. And you know what Jesus is going to look at them and say? Depart from me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. So there are going to be a lot of people that are going to think they're going to get in there, but they're not going to. Many of which are populating churches right now as we speak. Many of which are preaching sermons as we speak. Many of which are serving as Sunday school teachers and deacons as we speak. We'll hear those painful words from our Lord and Savior, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't know about you, but that's enough to make me want to get right with God. Amen. That's enough to make me want to make sure that my walk and my talk are lining up and I am who I think I am and I'm headed where I think I'm headed. And I want to be sure that everybody understands that. Before I can leave this, I have got to make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have ministered to this flock here at Bethesda and told them the truth about the gospel of Christ. I am not going to sugarcoat it. Let me tell you, that's why this world's in the mess it's in today, right? We have taken Jesus out of everything. We want to be politically correct. Oh, you shouldn't be reading that here. You shouldn't be talking about that here. That's all we should be talking about, amen? That's all we should be talking about is the Word of God. Jesus, His love. How if we have Him in our hearts, we're not going to be running around killing people. We're not going to be running around belittling people and beheading people and all this other stuff that's going on. If you got the love of Christ living in you, you're not going to do that. So you see, we got a lot of Christless people in the world today. If you agree with that, say amen. We got a lot of Christless people in the world today. People who don't know Jesus, and some of them don't want to know him. And you know that's going to be the case. They're going to be people you try to share the gospel with, and they're not going to want to hear it. There are plenty of situations in the Bible where Jesus and his disciples went to minister and share the word. They were not welcome. In fact, Jesus at one point in time says, look, if you go into a town and they don't accept what you're trying to show them and you're trying to teach them, as a testimony against that town, you shake the very dirt from your sandals and move on. And see, that's what I'm going to do here eventually. I'm not going to just stay here harping on this same thing forever and ever. But I want you to understand this. What I am telling you is the true word of God. I am not making this up. I'm not doing this for anything of my own free will and accord, because I don't stand to gain anything from what I'm saying. You stand to gain from applying it to your life, because I'm already saved, amen? I know where I'm going when I die. Now, I hope and pray that everybody else has that confidence and that boldness, because I want to be sure when that roll is called up yonder that I look out and I see everybody here. You know, that would be a tragedy to me. To one day get to heaven, let's say the church has already been raptured away and everybody that's going to be in heaven's there. And I look about and I don't see everybody that I came to church with every Sunday. That would hurt me. If we're capable of even having that kind of hurt there, because there'll be no more tears and pain and all. But I believe I will recognize who's there and who isn't. But I'll be joyful about the fact that those are there. But guys, You know, salvation is such a simple thing. You ever thought about that? Think about this with me for a minute. Why don't more people accept Jesus? Why not want this great place called heaven? Why not want to be assured of a place called heaven one day? When it's so simple, believe on the name of Jesus, call upon His name, confess your sins, seek forgiveness, and you will have eternal life. Why don't more people do that? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about why is it that people don't get saved? Why is it that so many people just walk about their life every day and just you know, it'd be so simple? Well, guys, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, God already knows who's going to be saved and who isn't. Amen. The problem is we don't know that, so we're still called to share and witness to everybody. We don't know who those people are and are not that will and will not be in heaven. But God knows that. He's called us to take the word and to share the word as though everyone has the potential to be saved. Because God's word says He does not want that anyone should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I want. But so many people do not find that. And John obviously was burdened here in this book about that, because he harps on this throughout the whole entire book. The whole entire book focuses on that. Let's look here at verse 4. Everyone who sins, and I'm going to, I read you out of the King James to begin with. I'm going to read some of these scripture out of the NIV for you now to break it down and help you understand it a little bit better. I love reading the King James, but hey, I go to other versions when I need some clarification and everything. I want to read you these verses out of here right now. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Would you agree we got a lot of lawlessness going on in this world? I.e., we got a lot of sin in this world, right? We are living right now at this point in time. I feel as unsafe in America as I've ever felt. Anybody feel that way? Amen. I feel unsafe in the United States of America. You know why? Because lawlessness is abounding. Because nothing is seemingly being done to challenge and take care of the problems that are going on, the hatred, the bitterness, the violence, these extremist groups that are being allowed to infiltrate our country. Now, I'm not trying to get political here, because I can if y'all want me to, amen, but maybe this isn't the right place to do it, okay? But guys, this stuff is in our country now. And the reason it's in here, number one, like I said before, we don't have enough Jesus in our country right now. I said this several weeks ago, and I'm going to reiterate on this a little bit. Heaven is not going to be nearly as big as hell. Hell is going to be a huge place. Heaven, according to the book of Revelations, roughly is going to be about 1,800 square miles. If you look at the dimensions that John was asked to measure and give it. That tells me one thing. I've looked up some facts and figures about people who profess to be born-again believers. I've seen figures as high as 300 to 400 million people who claim to be born-again believers. Well, guys, guess what? If that were true, and God already knows who's going to be saved and who isn't, heaven would have been a lot bigger, amen? So what does that tell you? There are a lot of people living a lie. There's a lot of people living a lie right now today who are saying they're born-again believers, but heaven's dimensions are not going to be big enough for that number of people. So what does that tell you? We got some liars in the group. And I'm not saying that to be ugly. John himself says you are a liar if you say you're in the light, but you live in the darkness. Let's read on here. Verse 5. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. You see, you got to understand one thing. When the Holy Spirit of God comes in your heart, then the devil cannot coexist inside you with that. It's impossible. But now, guess what? He's roaming around like a roaring lion about you, trying to devour you at any given time. And if you let him, if you give him a foothold, you will be manipulated by Satan. And you will end up doing what Satan is trying to get you to do. You see, what he wants right now is this. He doesn't want people to show up tonight. He doesn't want young people to come and worship God tonight and adults come and worship God tonight. So let me tell you what he's going to start doing as soon as you walk out this door, if he hasn't started already. He's going to start making you think of every excuse in the book why you shouldn't be here tonight. I got this to do. Oh, gosh, I forgot. I got a bridge game next week. I got to go ahead and call everybody. It's going to take 2 and 3 hours to get all that done. You're going to start using every excuse you can come up with not to be here tonight. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. There'll be no excuses when you stand before Jesus. Amen. There will be no excuses. You will have to account for your life in front of the Creator. What are you going to tell Him? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I should have come to church a little bit. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, Lord, well, I read my Bible some and I came to church. Depart from me. I never knew you. So many people are going to hear that. Why? Because they're full of excuses. That's why I titled this message today, "It's Time to Take Off the Mask and to Be Who You Are." You're either for Christ or you're against Christ. You know what I can appreciate more than anything? And I had this happen at an FCA meeting one time. I was asking kids about, you know, being a born-again believer and everything. And I had one kid, I'll never forget it, who told the group, "I'm just not ready for this Jesus stuff right now. I'm not ready for it." And you know what I told him? I said, "I really appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty." Because a lot of people in here are raising their hand knowing good and well they don't know Jesus. You raised your hand and said what you felt in your heart and probably were one of the few people that were telling the truth that night. I did end my conversation with him by saying, "I'm going to pray for you, brother, because I hope and pray you will come to a saving knowledge of Him before it's too late." And that's how I left it. I did not beat the kid up in the corner and say, "You're going to hell if you don't get saved tonight." Whew, amen. Anybody got any oxygen in here? Lord. I'm getting my school voice on. About to go back to school next week in another week and a half. Everybody ready? Kids, give me an amen if you're ready to go to church. See? You thought I was going to say if you're ready to go to school, didn't you? Y'all just booed saying you wanted to come to church. Okay. Nah, I fooled you. I knew that was going to happen. See, that's all, some of that psychological stuff we use here every now and then. But guys, all jokes aside, we're going to have to be accountable for what we do. Okay? I can't take your sins upon myself. You can't take my sins upon yourself. But I know somebody who took everybody's sin upon Him. Amen? Amen. And that person's name is Jesus Christ. He died so that we could have the opportunity to live. I don't think anybody in this room would have walked up that hill, lugging that cross, be nailed to that cross for a bunch of sinful people you don't even know so that they can have a chance at eternal life. Jesus did something awesome for us. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves you too much to leave you where you are today in this pew you're sitting in. He wants you to be better when you walk out of here than when you came in here. The problem is some people aren't going to find that. They're not going to be better than when they walked in here. You know why? Because they keep shutting out the Holy Spirit, trying to work on their heart, trying to convince them of things. Let's continue on here. Let's look at verse 6. "No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him." Now let me read the King James there, because I want you to understand something here. You got to understand some things when you're reading God's Word. In the King James Version here it says, "Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not." Now if you stop there on the surface, you might interpret that to mean, okay, if I'm a Christian, I'm never going to sin again. Guys, if that were the case, let me tell you something. If every time we sin, it meant that you were not a born-again believer, then your preacher would be up here in this aisle finding salvation every Sunday, amen? That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about if you continue to sin, if you're continuing to live in sin, then you don't know the Father. You don't know the Father. That's what he's saying here. Moving on here. Then it goes on to say in verse 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." If you are a born-again believer, you're going to do the right thing 90 plus percent of the time. I'm not saying you're not going to slip up some, okay? I'm giving you a little leeway to slip up here because it's going to happen. But if you are doing 90% wrong, then you don't know Jesus. I can't put it any plainer than that. You don't know Him. You don't know Him. Let's go on. Look at verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. The NIV says, the one who does what's sinful is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus came to defeat Satan once and for all. Amen. Satan won in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? But he's lost the battle, amen? Yep. He's lost the battle because Jesus died and destroyed any hold that Satan had on this world. So you can go to bed tonight and rest easy. If you're a born-again believer, Satan has been defeated in your life. Now, I didn't say he wasn't going to continue to try to manipulate you and try to lead you down the wrong path, but he is defeated, so why do we keep letting him defeat us? Can anybody explain that to me? Why do we keep letting the devil win out when he's defeated? Jesus paid it all. Jesus took Satan, told him to reach down and touch his toes, and whoo, kicked him right on out of existence. Amen. He got rid of him. You know why? Because Jesus loves us. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. So you see, the devil has no control over you except what you allow him to do. Everybody understand that? In Christ, you're a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. That means Satan no longer lives in you. Satan no longer controls you. You are controlled by the Holy Ghost of God. And it's time for us to start acting like it, amen? It's time for us to rise up and be the men and women of Christ that we have been called to be. Now look at verse 9. I'm going to get y'all doing a little interaction here, amen? Anybody want to do some interacting? Look, y'all done messed up already. I'm going to call on some of y'all, amen? Y'all didn't give me an amen saying you're glad to be in church. So I'm going to remember that. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they did, amen? I'm just messing with y'all, really. But guys, listen to me. Look at verse 9. I want you to, if you hadn't marked this verse in your Bible, I encourage you to mark it. 1 John 3:9. If it's not marked, you need to mark it. Let this be a memory verse for you. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I'm going to read this other translation. I want you to repeat this after me, and I want to hear you say it, guys. Say it. Verse 9. No one who is born of God
will continue to sin.
Let that resound in your mind for just a minute. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. Will continue to sin. Let's look at the second half of that verse. For his seed remaineth in him. Now, I want you to repeat this after me. Because God's seed remains in them.
Because God's seed remains in him.
Guys, y'all sounded like you were giving a eulogy there. Let's get excited. Because God's seed remains in them.
Because God's seed remains in him.
There you go. Some of you just came back to life. Amen. Amen. Think about that for a minute. Why will you not continue to sin? Because God's seed remains in you. Didn't say you weren't going to sin sometimes, but you're not going to continually sin because the Holy Ghost of God is living inside your heart. God's seed is in your heart. I'm going to tell you something. That is a seed that never dies. You can put a seed in the ground, something will come up from it, but eventually it's going to what? It's going to die. That seed doesn't ever die. That's an eternal seed. That's the kind of seed you need to be planting, amen. Don't be planting all these other worldly seeds in your life that are going to sprout one day and make you feel all big and important, and then before you know it, you'll be dead. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, it's going to happen. Let's finish that verse. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. The other translation says, because they cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Repeat that after me. I'm going to change it a little bit. I cannot go on sinning.
I cannot go on sinning.
Because I have been born of God.
Because I have been born of God.
Now guys, if you said that, that means hopefully you are a born again believer. Because that's the only way you're not going to continue to go on in sin. So you see, for all these years, preachers have been baffled by why so many young people feel the need to come down to an altar call at every conference they go to. Let me shed some light on that. Because I was perplexed by this as an FCA leader for all these years. I'm like, wait a minute, they just accepted Christ 2 weeks ago. Now they're back down here wanting to get saved again. I'm afraid somewhere along the line they misconstrued the scripture here, and they, who knows, they may have even read in the book of 1 John that you're not going to continue to sin if you're a child of God. And they got to thinking, oh my God, I sinned this week, I got to go back and get saved again. No, guys, how many of you believe once truly saved, always saved? Raise your hand. Amen. We don't have anything in God's word that says other than that. Because when you truly have been born and you've truly been covered by the blood of Jesus, that is for your past, your present, and your future. Amen. That's not going to change. So for our young people to feel convicted, guys, let me tell you, you know what that tells me? That tells me they really were saved. They're coming under conviction of the Holy Spirit. They feel like they need to come down every time an altar call happens and say, I need to get saved. No, brothers and sisters, you need to repent and seek forgiveness. That lets you know you're saved when you feel the Holy Ghost of God telling you and convicting you that you've done something wrong. That's all that is. It doesn't mean you got to go back and get saved. Because let me tell you something. You think Satan wants you to come down to this aisle and seek forgiveness? No, sir. You think Satan wants you to do anything good? No, sir. So if it's something good, it's coming from God. It's coming from the Holy Spirit of God. If it's something bad, you can rest assured Satan wants it. And Satan's behind it. A couple more verses and we'll be done here. Verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Well, let me read that from the NIV. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. I want to end by talking about love for just a minute, because that's the second theme of this chapter and an ongoing theme in the book of 1 John. How many of you love Jesus? Raise your hand. I want you to be honest with me. Put your hands down. How many of you have ever said you hated somebody? Raise your hand. Be honest. Be honest with me. Okay? I saw some of you do this. Ooh, whoa, wait a minute. What did he say? Thank you for your honesty. I have too. But guess what? If the love of Jesus is in your heart, there's no room for hatred. You cannot love Jesus whom you have not seen and hate your brother who you see every day. Why? Because God is what? Love. God is love. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So you see, love is the cement of Christianity. It is what holds every principle that Christ wants us to know about together. We can't understand any of God's word if we don't have love in our heart. It's impossible. You cannot say you love Jesus, come into this church house every Sunday, raise your hands and pray, say amen, all this kind of stuff, and walk out this door and say you hate so-and-so. I don't ever want to see them again. I hate their guts. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. You need to repent of that. You need to ask God to forgive you of that. I hope some of you are coming under conviction of the Holy Spirit right now, because you cannot love Jesus and hate your neighbor. You just can't do it. Now, God didn't say we got to buddy-buddy with everybody, that we got to like what everybody's doing. No, He said we're commanded to love them as He has loved us. So, guess what? I don't hang around with a lot of people in this world. And I certainly don't like a lot of people in this world. But I love them with the love of Jesus. Amen. And I'm not ashamed to tell them that. I love you with the love of Christ. I don't love what you're doing. I love the sinner. I hate the sin. That's okay to say. How many of you hate sin? Some of you ain't raising your hand. Get your hands up. You lovers of sin? I'm just kidding. We all ought to hate sin, right? But we're to love our neighbor. I want you to understand the difference. You cannot hate your neighbor, because in saying that, you're not showing the love of Christ. So I want you to be sure you understand that. Guys, our love for others should show by our actions. I'm going to end with this right here. I want you to think about this. How many of you, and I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong necessarily, but I want you to think about this. How many of you have encountered people holding up signs at intersections saying, I need some money for food and stuff like that? Everybody seen that before? Okay. Now I want you to think about this for a minute, because what I want to get at is that if you read on down here, it talks about how if you come across someone who's in need and you're not doing anything for them, then the love of Christ is not in you. Now, I understand we got to be careful. Some people are out there for the wrong reasons. But I'm going to tell you something. You got something inside you called the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is leading you to reach out to some of those people, rest assured, you need to follow that. If you've got something you can help them with, you ought to be helping them instead of doing it. Oh, go get a job. Let me ask you something. You know how stupid that is. I said stupid. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, let me tell you how stupid that is. Do you honestly think someone who is homeless, living in a sewer, rats crawling on them, do you not think they would like to have a good job and a good home? That's crazy to even think like that, to even say that. My goodness. I guarantee you one thing, they'd gladly swap places with you in a heartbeat. But you need to listen to some of their stories. Rags or riches to rags stories. Some of them making six figures, now living on the street. They made some poor decisions, yes. But guess what? If you got the love of Christ in you, you're going to help minister to that brother or that sister. You're not going to question whether they're legitimate all the time. Now, obviously, sometimes I don't come under conviction by the Holy Spirit to reach out to these people. And I'm going on that as to mean that, Lord, they're doing this for the wrong reason. But there are many times I come under conviction and I will pull out whatever I've got in my pocket and give it to them. And I'm not saying that to brag. Please don't misunderstand me here. I'm saying that to tell you this. We are called to take care of those in need. And when we don't show the love of Christ. So let me tie all these ends together here today, and we're going to bring this thing to a close right now. First of all, we're going to see Jesus one day. Isn't that going to be great? Can I get a witness? Isn't that going to be great? Amen. Amen. We're going to see Jesus for who He is. We also, when we're born again believers, we're not going to continue to sin. In Him there is no darkness. You cannot say you're in the light and be living in darkness. John says, he who does that is lying. He's fooling himself or herself, whatever the case may be. So you see, we got to say who we are and act like who we are. Because guess what? You ain't going to fool people for long, right? Y'all know right now people who say they're born again believers and live like the devil every other day of the week. Amen. You know people like that. I do too. So that's what John's talking about here. And lastly, we got to love each other, because it doesn't matter how much you say you love Jesus. If you don't love your fellow man, you don't love Jesus. You're fooling yourself. You are fooling yourself. So I want to encourage you today. Guys, we're fixing to start a revival. Our young people, let me just say, our young people need to see us as adults rise up and set an example for them. They need to see us showing the love of Christ to other people. How are they going to know how to do it and what to do when they look at us and we're not living it? What a mixed message we send to our young people sometimes. I say, you need to do this, and they turn around and see us out here doing just the opposite of that. Guys, we got to be who we say we are. And there's only one way to know who you say you are, and that is to have the Holy Spirit of Christ come into your heart. Guys, we're going to have an altar call here for a minute. Some of you may need to get saved today. Some of you may need to come up here and rededicate your life to serving Christ today. You may need to just come up and pray for certain issues in your life. I want to encourage you to do that in a minute. But let me say this. Some of you need to get right with Jesus. You need to not wait any longer. Because I'm going to tell you something. You ever heard the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus died and was carried off into the bosom of Abraham to heaven. The rich man died, went straight to hell. Every day Lazarus sat outside his door with just wanting some of the crumbs and scraps from his table to eat. You think that rich man gave him one crumb? No. He didn't have the love of Christ. He didn't know Jesus. But as soon as he hit hell, boy, what did he want? Oh, can you just have Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and cool this burning fire I've got going on? Oh, can you, Abraham, can you send some people out? I got some brothers. They need to know about this so they don't end up here. Guess what? It's too late. It was too late then. Because the Bible says between us and them is a great gulf, a great chasm that separates us. And whether they go, we cannot come. Whether we go, they cannot come. So see, there'll be no coming back and changing things. That's why you got to make sure, guys. Make sure. Because I'm going to tell you this. It's time for some of us to take off these masks. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I'm praying for an awesome revival this week. God, I'm praying that we challenge some ways of thinking here today. I'm praying, God, that tonight we'll see some young people and older people as well come and get their lives straightened out. I pray we'll see it today. Lord, one of the problems we have is we're too prideful about wanting to get up and come down to an old-fashioned altar and kneel down and really have a come-to-Jesus meeting with you. Lord, I pray you'll strip us of that pride, God, that we'll be willing to come and just pour our hearts out to you. Lord, I'm just giving this to you, Lord. It's nothing I said, but it's all about you, Father. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. What are we singing?
243.
243. Let's stand and sing. The altar's open as always. If nothing else, come pray for the revival this week. Amen. Hymn 243.